Father, bless these words to our hearts and anoint our ears to hear. Anoint our hearts to receive in Jesus' name. Have you ever wondered how it is that hell came to be? We don't talk about it much. We're grace-oriented. I don't think I've ever preached a message on it. But have you ever wondered about how it is that hell came to be? What was its origin? We understand why. We know that hell was created for Satan and the fallen angels. But have you wondered what it was that happened in heaven and on earth that caused hell to come into existence, for God to make that? In Revelation 13:8, the Word of God says that the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. The Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. Do you realize what that means? That Christ, the Savior, was slain before the world came into existence. Somewhere in eternity past, Christ the Savior was slain before it ever happened in time. Before the heavens and the earth were made, Christ was slain. God Himself died before the foundation of the world. Do you realize what that meant in heaven? That God died. What did the angels think when God died? Because it happened prior to man. Hebrews 2:9, the Word of God says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man." That Christ should taste death for every man. Before the foundation of the world, before anything was created, Christ tasted death for every man. Satan was not a man. He was Lucifer at the time. And the angels were watching. And Christ tasted death for man. How is it that Christ tasted death for man? He became a man. This was an unacceptable circumstance, though. He became a man. You see, why did He do this? Well, very simple, so that we may be saved. In Romans 9:30, the Word of God says, "What shall we say then? That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is faith." So we know that the Gentiles and the Jews prior to the Gentiles came to righteousness by faith, because for Abraham, he believed God and his faith was counted to him as righteousness, the Word of God says. And so righteousness came by faith. But there's only one thing about that. Angels don't have faith. Angels don't need faith, because they see God face to face. And so they learn about faith from looking at our lives, the ones that are not fallen, God's angels. They look in onto our lives to learn about things like faith and grace. What it is to believe God when you can't see anything. What it is to trust God when the circumstances are impossible. Red Sea in front of you, Egyptian army behind you, impossible circumstances. You're going to die, but you're walking in faith. And all of a sudden, God parts the Red Sea. And He uses a man to do it. And He says, "Moses, put the stick down. Put down the rod. Touch the water." And the water parted. And all of a sudden, faith delivered Israel, because God was faithful to them. Righteousness comes by faith. Not just belief in God. The devils believe and tremble. The devils know He is the Son of God. In the New Testament, several places, a demon-possessed person, the demon in that person said, "You are the Son of God. You're Christ. You are God." And he told him, "You be quiet." The devils know who he is, but they don't have faith and they don't have righteousness. We, on the other hand, we have never seen God and we have faith, and by our faith we have righteousness. We believe God, and because we believe Him, not just that He is God, but we believe Him for the details of our lives, for the provisions of our lives, for all the promises that He's given, for our calling, for our entire being. We believe Him. And God says, that is your faith, and that is your righteousness. According to your faith, be it unto you. If I walk in faith, I walk in righteousness. According to your faith, be it unto you. In Romans 4:13, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. So now we know that that righteousness that we have does not come through our observance of anything external. It comes strictly because we have a faith toward God. We have the faith of the Son of God. And this is our righteousness. For all things I believe Him. For all things I trust Him. For all things I know it is as God has given, as God has said, as God has made the world to be, as God has made heaven to be, as God has made my life to be. For all things I simply trust Him. The Bible gives 7,837 promises. Every one of them I trust Him for. Because they are all yea and amen, and they are all for me. They are for my benefit. They are for my growth. They are so that I can get to know Him. And they are for my assurance so that I can trust Him. And so this is my righteousness. And I enter it by faith. In Psalm 97:2, clouds and darkness are round about Him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of His throne. And you see, this was the problem. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of His throne. In Isaiah 16:5, in mercy shall the throne be established, and He shall sit upon it in truth, in the tabernacle of David, judging and seeking judgment and hastening righteousness. You see, this is something that in the mind of Lucifer simply did not gel. Righteousness and truth were the habitation of His throne, but mercy was its establishment. That means that mercy is the establishment of righteousness and truth and the government thereof, grace. That means apart from mercy, there is no righteousness and there is no truth, and it has nothing to do with the law. Because it was not the law that was counted to Abraham for righteousness. It was faith in the character and the faithfulness of God. Faith in that which God had given him, which God had told him, which God had promised him, which God had provided for him before the world began. And he simply trusted Him. And it was because of mercy, because Abraham was not a faithful man. Abraham was a pagan. Abraham was a man who would trade his wife to the king to save his skin. He was a coward and a pagan. But he was chosen by the grace of God, and no other reason. Simply by the grace of God. And God called it righteousness when Abraham believed Him. And all the moments of unrighteousness, the fact that he had been a pagan, the fact that he said to his wife, "Tell him you're my sister," and she was, that's the thing, she was his half-sister. All the things that were in his path were not one ounce, any kind of an influence to the call of God on his life. They were not one ounce of any kind of an influence for the righteousness that he had before God. All his failures put together meant nothing. It was only the faith that he showed toward God that meant something. Nor did any of his accomplishments count for anything, because he was a very successful man. Only his faith that he had toward God counted for anything. But he was not a particularly righteous man in what we, in our day, in our Christian mentality, would call righteous. He was a sinner. In Romans 10:6, the Word of God says, "But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach." So righteousness becomes something even simpler. It is simply a faith that I have received and had produced in me through the preaching of the Word of God. This is why the Word of God says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And that very faith that I've received by hearing of the Word of God becomes my righteousness. And it's nothing else. It is not anything else that is my righteousness. It is the hearing that I've received through the Word of God. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8, the Word of God says, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day." In the cool of the day, God would come down into the garden, and He would teach them doctrine, and He would fellowship with them. And they heard His voice in the garden, in the cool of the day. But something had already happened. "And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden." You see, once they start avoiding the Word of God, once they start avoiding the voice of God, I start to hide myself from Him. You see, when Jesus said and gave the prohibition, and it was Jesus who did it, when He gave the... Why? How do I know that? Because through Him all things were created. When He gave the prohibition, He said, "In that day you will die, you will be separated from Me." He did not separate them, they separated themselves. Do you understand what that means? They walked away from God. He didn't walk away from them. He was looking for them, and they hid. They walked away from Him. In Ezekiel 31 and verse 16, the Word of God says, "I made the nations to shake at the sound of His fall. When I cast them down to hell with them that descend into the pit, and all the trees of Eden, the choice and best of Lebanon, all that drink water shall be comforted in the nether parts of the earth. They also went down into hell." Now, who are those that drink water? Those that receive the Word of God. Remember, nobody was in heaven. Says in Mark, nobody, Jesus said this, nobody was in heaven at the point where Christ was on earth. Only after the resurrection, there was a place next to what we think of as hell that was called paradise. This is where Lazarus was seen by the rich man in the bosom of Abraham. He looked across the great gulf that was fixed, and he saw Abraham. Today, after the resurrection, souls go to heaven. But before that, they went to the nether parts of the earth, those that drank water. "They also went down into hell with him, unto them that be slain with the sword. And this is different. This is the other hell. This is the hell of torment. And they that were his arm, that dwelt under his shadow in the midst of the heathen, to whom art thou thus like in glory and in greatness among the trees of Eden? Yet shalt thou be brought down with the trees of Eden unto the nether parts of the earth. Thou shalt lie in the midst of the uncircumcised, with them that be slain by the sword. And then in 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Satan was in Eden. His tree was the tree of knowledge. He was that glorious tree. It was his tree, that's why it was there. He was cast into Eden early on. He was cast there on the first day. You see, in the beginning, the world was covered with darkness. And then God said, let there be light. And He separated the light from the darkness. Now, people generally think of that as light like photons. But that's not what it's talking about. Because that form of light did not exist until the fourth day. And people will say, well, maybe energy. But that's not it either. Because the presence of matter contained within it energy. So when God created the heavens and the earth, that's when He created energy. When God created the sun and the stars, that's when He created that form of light that is photons. But prior to that, Satan was cast onto the earth and darkness covered the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light, and light was separated from the darkness. That means that God separated the two kingdoms. That's where He got cast out. And God sent His angels and His kingdom. Why? Because in His kingdom, Adam was created. The angels were there to witness it. They were the trees of Eden. And God said, any tree in Eden you may eat thereof, except this tree you may not eat thereof. Why? Satan's tree. And what was the tree? It was a tree of knowledge of good and evil. And people think to themselves, but good and evil, aren't we to know good from evil? It wasn't the knowledge, the fact that they had the ability to discern good and evil. It was the way that they gained it. It was the knowledge part. Knowledge there refers to knowledge gained by sight or hearing. Empirical senses knowledge. This was Satan's tree. Do you get this? In Isaiah 14:11, turn there for a moment, please. Thy pomp is brought down to the grave. Pomp is the word go'on in the Hebrew, and it means pride, majesty, arrogance, and excellence. This is who Lucifer was in heaven. He had majesty and he had excellence. Unfortunately, he also had pride that led to arrogance. And in his arrogance, because of his pride, he would not be satisfied with what God had done. It was absolutely unacceptable to him. Because God's throne was a throne of righteousness. And Satan had majesty and he had excellence, but he was proud. His throne was a throne of righteousness, and Satan could not deal with the fact that the eternal God would become a lowly man. That was an unacceptable circumstance in heaven. Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials, harps. The worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. Worm is a corrupt conscience. That's what it's talking about. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, That's the word Heleli. It means morning star. How art thou fallen from heaven, morning star? Son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground? And that word ground is Eris, and it means earth. He was cut down to the earth, which didst weaken the nations. For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of congregation in the sides of the north. Sides is Jericho, and it, here in this context it's referring to the highest part of heaven. I will also sit upon the mount of the congregation in the highest part of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. The cloud is talking about the presence of God. I will ascend above the presence of God. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down into hell to the sides. And here it's still Jericho, but in this context it refers to the remotest parts, down to the sides of the pit. To the remotest part of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee. They kind of squint their eyes out the corner of their eye looking at you. Saying, is this the man that had made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of the prisoners? All the kings of the nations, even all of them lie in glory, every one in his own house, but thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch, and as the raiment of those who are slain, thrust through with a sword, that go down to the stones of the pit as a carcass trodden under feet. Ezekiel 28:15, you were blameless in your ways from the day you were created until iniquity. Iniquity has several meanings. One of them is an emotional rebellion against God, but where does that come from? It also means evil, but it also means unrighteousness. Until unrighteousness and guilt were found in you. Unrighteousness was found in Lucifer. What is unrighteousness? Faith is counted as righteousness. Now, angels don't have faith the way we have faith. But it wasn't that form of faith that he didn't have. What he didn't have was a trust for the character of God. That was his unrighteousness. This is the believer's unrighteousness. When the believer doesn't trust the character of God, when the believer doesn't trust the Word of God, when the believer does not trust the Savior for his faithfulness, that is unrighteousness. Unrighteousness was found in the morning star. He did not trust the character of God. You see, something happened. Something devastating happened in heaven. And in Revelation chapter 12, a war broke out in heaven because of it. In Revelation 12:9, the Word of God says, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world, and was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And this is where he was cast out to in Genesis 1:2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The Spirit of God brought light. And although that is talking about literal waters in application, and in different parts of the Scriptures, water is the Word of God, but water is also the host of the believers, as they are called a sea. Spirit of God moved upon those who were present in application. And light was separated from darkness. God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. That was on the first day. Interesting place to put us, wasn't it? The place where Satan had been banished to. Satan was cast down to the earth before the final sentence was carried out. How is it that God decided to make man in the place where Satan was cast out to? It was part of the plan. You see, God saw something had happened. God made the perfect, and it became imperfect. The angels were made in the presence of God. There was no imperfection in them. They saw Him face to face. They stood before His throne. They lived in eternity past after they were created by Him and His majesty, and they knew it. And they had a close and rich communion with Him. But the perfect became imperfect, because unrighteousness, through not understanding the character of God, came into the world. So God made the imperfect. He made us. He made man. This was in contrast to what happened before. God did not make man in splendor or in glory. God made man in the place to which He sent out Lucifer, and Lucifer became Satan, and darkness was in this place. And this is where God made man. Why? So that while before the perfect became imperfect, now the imperfect would become perfect. And this was not an acceptable situation. And Satan knew that this was exactly what was going to happen, because before the foundation of the world, the Lamb was slain, the Lamb became a man, the Lamb made Himself to be lower than the angels. How could Lucifer respect a God who was lower than angels? It was not an acceptable circumstance. And not only was He lower than angels, He was capable of death. And not only was He capable of death, He was capable of sin. And not only was He capable of sin, He became sin. This was an entirely unacceptable circumstance in heaven. And so Satan, in his arrogant pride, says, I will exalt myself above the stars of God. And I'm going to climb above God's presence. And I will be like the Most High. And God said, no, you will not either. Because you do not understand the nature of righteousness. You have been so arrogant, so proud, that righteousness has utterly escaped you. And now, you must be banished. God took that which was corrupted and threw it out of heaven. This is why we go there, because God took the imperfect and perfected it with His blood. Not an acceptable circumstance in heaven. Not to the proud. So what does Satan do? In Genesis 2:9, out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And in verse 17, the Word of God says, but the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Do you understand what it means to evaluate by seeing or hearing to walk at the tree of knowledge of good and evil, it is to eat at Satan's tree. This was the very problem in heaven. Lucifer looked and saw a majestic God. But Lucifer looked and saw a God who became a man, a God who was capable of death, and a God who was capable of sin, and a God who would become sin. And this was not acceptable because he walked by sight instead of trusting and relying on the nature and the character of God. And Lucifer looked and he saw and he fell. And so he takes it to man. So the unrighteous man could not become a righteous man. The imperfect man could not become a perfected man. The very plan that God had, he had to destroy it. Because it was not righteous for a man to become above the angels in position and below the angels in creation. It was not righteous for God to be above the angels in position and below the angels in creation either. In Lucifer's eyes, God became unrighteous, lower than the angels, corrupted by the sin of man. You see, that righteousness by sight was his unrighteousness. Do you realize that self-righteousness, self-exaltation is the definition of unrighteousness? It is taking faith and casting it aside and say, I will be perfect, I will be acceptable to God in my own ability. Self-indulgence is the very opposite of the righteousness of God. It is saying, what is in me is more important and greater, and there will be no faith to turn me from my worship of my own opinion. And this is exactly what Lucifer did, because he walked by sight. He can't do that. It cost the archangel his position in eternity. There was no place found for him after that in heaven. And so he had to be cast down into creation, because there was no place found for him. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, had God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? It means, does that make any sense? In other words, Eve, did God really say you can't talk to me? Did He really say you can't fellowship with me? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. She was already getting snagged. She should have never been talking to him. He didn't say you won't touch it. She was already getting snagged. Be careful with the things you allow to be spoken to you. Be careful what you allow someone to communicate to you. It is very possibly a snag if it is not from the Holy Spirit. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, your eyes will be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And he's talking about the angels there. You'll be able to walk by sight, and you'll know good and evil like the angels do. And he built a lust pattern in her, a craving that was not of God. You see, she already had discernment from God, from the Word of God, but she gave away her discernment. She gave up her discernment when she started talking to the wrong one. Isn't this like what happens to us believers? We start talking to the wrong person and we give up our discernment? Absolutely it does. Because Satan will always say to us, "Has God said? Oh, you won't surely die. No, 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 no. God didn't mean that." And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise. Oh, the snag of Satan is desirable and it's good for food and it's pleasant to the eyes. Isn't it? He was a beautiful serpent. He came to her very gently. He probably made her feel special because he gave her some attention. You don't see anywhere else in the Bible where Eve was talking to any other creature apart from her husband. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. And also gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat. She took him down with her. And the eyes of them both were opened. Now they started walking by sight. And now they looked at each other and said, "Hey, we're naked. There's something wrong with us." Don't you realize that bad self-image is simply another form of walking by sight? Satan will always try to make you self-conscious. And your self-consciousness mixed with your sight will say to you, "There's something wrong with me." You can't win when you mix self-consciousness and sight. Get rid of both of them. Neither one is a friend to you. Get rid of both of them. Get rid of that voice that said, "God had not said," that gets you to yield a conviction. Get rid of that voice that says, "Go against the things that God has spoken to you." Get rid of it. Cast down every imagination and high thing that exalts itself above Christ. That's above His Word. The Word became flesh. That's above His Word. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew they were naked. And so they tried to make themselves a natural provision. How well do you think the fig leaves worked? About as well as they work today. There's a lot of striving in the fig leaves. There's a lot of wanting in the fig leaves. There's a lot of discontent in the fig leaves. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. In Romans 5 and verse 12, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned, and Christ became a man. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law." So sin may exist apart from the law, but it is not something that God will count to my charge where there is no law. And this is why Christ was the end of the law. "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, and even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so as is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many." And then in verse 17, "By one man's offense death reigned by one." And in verse 18, therefore as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. And then in verse 20, moreover the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you understand what the tree of knowledge is? The tree of knowledge is an application of the law. The tree of knowledge says, this is the prohibition. And for notice, the very first thing that Satan brought to Eve's attention was the prohibition. God gave definition, Satan turned it into a law. Have God said? And not only did he turn it into a law, he used the law to question the character of God. And this is why the throne of iniquity has mischief by the law. That very thing was what Satan used to cause man to fall, because that's the very thing that caused him to fall. He wasn't all that creative. He never changed his mind. He said, God is unrighteous for becoming sin as a man. He became sin as a man. And that was unrighteousness, because what right did unrighteousness and sin have in heaven? What place was there on the throne of God for a man who was lower than the angels and who became sin to boot? He didn't understand that the throne of righteousness is established in mercy. You see, what he saw was the glorious, magnificent throne. What he didn't see was the heart of God on the throne. That was unrighteousness. Do you realize what the finished work is? The finished work was the salvation of man, but it was also the end of Lucifer. In the same swoop. The finished work was why we can stand before God, but it was the very reason why Lucifer was thrown out of heaven. Because righteousness became unrighteous and unrighteousness became righteous. And so a puffed up, arrogant, proud angel who in his magnificence and splendor and glory could not deal with the fact that God's heart was a heart of mercy. And that righteousness was not in his beauty or in his ability or in his magnificence, but it was in the mercy of God. And that's where righteousness was. And that's what we believe on as believers, is the mercy of God. The mercy of God towards us. The mercy of God regarding His faithfulness. The mercy of God regarding promises. The mercy of God regarding the Word. The mercy of God regarding every aspect of my life, of my call, of my being, of my existence here on earth and then in heaven. It is all on the foundation of the mercy of God. But Satan only saw majesty. But he never saw mercy. Majesty is established in mercy. Majesty is established in mercy. That's the glory of God. And he never got that. And so what happened? He started attacking. In Ezekiel 28:18, he started attacking. And he attacked God and he attacks man. And that's why in Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, and he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke you, O Satan, even the Lord that had chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? We always think of this as though Satan was standing on God's right hand. Satan has no place on God's right hand. Satan was on the right hand of Joshua. That's why he had filthy garments. Satan was on Joshua's right hand. Satan was opposing Joshua's strength. That's what the right hand speaks of. His strength was in trusting God. And Satan will always oppose your trusting God. And he will always send something to resist your trusting God. And he'll cause you, because of it, to have filthy garments, an ungodly lifestyle, if he can. This is where convictions come in. Convictions protect you from the enemy. Now Joshua was clothed in filthy garments and stood before the angel, and that is talking about his lifestyle. He was an ungodly high priest because Satan resisted him. And he answered and spoke unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. Satan accused Joshua, and in heaven Satan accused God. Why? Because in Romans 8:29, he was the firstborn among many brethren. In Revelation chapter 12, he is the accuser of the brethren, whether it is us or God. And he accused God to Eve, and in Job 1 and 2, he accuses us to God. He's an accuser. And he accused God of unrighteousness. And that was his merchandise in Ezekiel 28:18. That was the trafficked merchandise. He accused God of unrighteousness because God became lower than the angels. In Ezekiel 28:17, your heart was proud and lifted up because of your beauty. Yofi in the Hebrew, it means splendor. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor, and I cast you to the ground. He said, your pride, Lucifer, corrupted your wisdom. Pride will always corrupt wisdom. Why? Because pride and wisdom cannot coexist. They are opposites. How do we deal with this? What is our place in all of this? Because we're in it. We were born, we were created into it, we're in it. And we can't get out of it until the day we go home to be with the Lord. We can't get out of it. We're in it. So what's our place? In Revelation 2:26, and he that overcometh and keep my works unto the end. What is my keep my works? I store in my heart the finished work of Christ. I store mercy and grace, gentleness and the goodness of God. I store them in my heart. People think I perform something when I keep it. No, when I keep something, I hold it. I don't perform it, I hold it. I store it in my heart. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him I will give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And as the vessels of the potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And get this last part. And I will give him the morning star. Do you understand what this is saying? He will give you the morning star. That was Satan's place when he was Lucifer. Lucifer means morning star. There was a vacancy in heaven. And now that man that was created in imperfection, corrupted by the soil of the earth, because he was not an angel, he was made lower than the angels, that man now replaces Satan. He replaces Lucifer. The position that Lucifer had before God is given to man. And he gives him the morning star. We replaced Lucifer. We're not just the bride. Oh, we are the bride, but we are far more than a bride. We replaced Lucifer. Oh, what an unacceptable event in heaven to the proud angel. To be replaced. Not only that one who would lower himself to the place of a man and become sin, but now he's replaced by a man who did sin. Oh, what an unbelievably unacceptable thing to Lucifer that was. But you see, there's one thing about that. In his pride, he lost his righteousness. In his pride, he lost his righteousness. You see, in Romans 1:17, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." This is why we, as believers, as the born again bride of the Savior, this is why we can take the morning star. Because our faith, we are just because of faith. Do you understand that? We are just because of faith. Our righteousness is faith. In Habakkuk 2:4, "Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him." This is Lucifer's pride. The soul that was lifted up was not upright in him. "But the just shall live by faith. Yea, also, because he transgresseth by wine, he is a proud man, neither keepeth at home, who enlargeth his desire as hell, and is his death, and cannot be satisfied, but gathereth unto him all the nations, and heapeth unto him all people." Do you understand the importance of having an experiential, real trust in your heart toward God? That lack of it is pride. The very thing that got Lucifer kicked out from heaven. We all have elements of this. And throughout our entire lives, God is going to be dealing through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to bring humility into our life so that we may be conformed to the image of His Son. Really, so that we may be conformed to the image of who we are. The uplifted heart is not upright. And then finally in Hebrews 10 and verse 38, "Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back," and this is exactly what happened with Lucifer. "If any man draw back," and that means to withdraw from faith, "my soul shall have no pleasure in him." And so what was the result? Hell was created. This is the origin of hell. It all happened with the finished work. For us, it is our hope. But for Satan and the fallen angels, it's their end. Why? Pride. It was all about pride. The proud heart will not know the character of God. The proud man will not trust the heart of God because he won't know it. But God's throne is established in mercy, and mercy is the foundation of righteousness and truth. That's the throne of God. You see, Lucifer thought that he was simply standing for God's righteousness, that he was actually standing in the purest form of unrighteousness that there is. He looked by sight and evaluated by his natural understanding rather than trusting the heart of God. And so in that, iniquity was found in him. And he had to attack. Because in his mind, he was protecting. But what was he protecting? He was protecting the very thing that was contrary to the heart of God. He was, in truth, living in self-righteousness. And that was not acceptable in heaven. Only the heart of God, the righteousness established on the foundation of mercy, the love of the Savior, that's the glory of God. That's all that is the glory of God. Amen.